Let them see my heart. Let them see what I want to do in and through them. I want them to know that those dreams I put in them were for a purpose. It was not placed there by mistake. It was not an error, but divinely orchestrated. So I feel when we are in touch with our desires and we spend time reflecting on our dreams and we daydream about what we'd like to be doing, we start to make it so.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by both books, Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself, and the follow-up bestseller, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. Head over to Amazon.com, pick up both books. They are available in a trifecta of paperback, audio, and ebook. Cop all three of both and be on the lookout for another book from yours truly to help podcasters succeed. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends, courtesy of PodcastGuest.com, a wonderful site where podcast guests can have one-page media sheets out on the interwebs for folks to seek them out for their expertise and invite them on their podcast, or maybe even occasionally have a company environment to give a training or a workshop. And we got one heck of a guest today, y'all, because my goodness, today's guest, she made it through a whole bunch of pitches, y'all. We had over 100 pitches when the show was blasted out probably about a good few weeks ago at this time of this recording. And we have a diamond needle in the haystack for you, my friend. That's right, Nika. She's a fellow believer, y'all. The fellow believer indeed. So that means we got some cream that is on the top, because today's wonderful guest is not only a fellow believer, she's also a bookcaster, y'all, because not only she joined the business of immortality with her fabulous book, she is also a podcast host as well as a lovely wife, a mom, a certified health and life coach, a trainer, and speaker. So let's give it up for the fabulous JT herself. We ain't talking about Justin Timberlake, but we're talking about the wonderful Jenny from the Catholic Block. The one and only Jenny Teeters. How are you doing today, Jenny?
Oh, I am fantastic. And you are the first person to ever call me Jenny from the Catholic Block. So I have heard Jenny from the Block many times. But I think I prefer Jenny from the Catholic Block.
Well, that's a running joke for the show. Whenever I get a guest named Jenny, we've had probably at least 5 of the Jennies. Let's see. We got the Healing Block. That was probably... let's see, that was Jenny Mannion. Then we had Prosperity Block, since I was an entrepreneur, real estate agent. Then we had Jenny from the Aussie Block, since she was from Australia. So it's like, oh yeah, there we go. Jenny from the Business Block. Yeah, Jennifer Glass. So I'm like, yep. So which Jenny Block are we going to give? So it looks like the Catholic.
You get the whole denomination. Beautiful. Oh,
that's good. That's good. She gets the whole denomination, y'all. That's right, indeed. So I give her a Pope suit. Let me stop. That's bad. Oh, man. But hey, it ain't just about the wonders of life and the wonderful Catholic faith, but it's also about the wonderful Jenny herself. And I probably forgot a few things of how you became the lady that you are today. So am I filling in any cavities I may have missed about you and how you became the Jenny that you are?
Oh, I would love to. Yes, I come from a large family. So my dad was one of 17 children, a Catholic family. 2 of my aunts are nuns. And then my mom was from a large Protestant family of 8. So I'm 1 of 5, and I have at least 50 cousins. So there are many, many, many of us running around. Yeah, and actually, church to me When I was going to church, there was a point in time when our family lived next to many of my aunts and uncles and their seven children or their four children or their five children. And so we would fill up many pews when we would go to church. But then afterwards, mealtime or holidays, birthdays, wedding, baptisms, all the things, like church always felt a lot like a family reunion. So that's, I guess that spills in a little bit of about why I absolutely love connection and community. And then I would say some important details. I'm married. I've been married 25 years this year, and we have two daughters, 19 and a 21-year-old, and they are college-age students and gratefully succeeding in college. So as a parent, I think I'm very, very happy about their trajectory. And I've spent 30 years in high tech. My day job is working for a technology vendor, and I've worked for many technology vendors. So I think that fills in a few of the resume gaps, the profile gaps, or the bio gaps.
Wow. So the kiddos are in college. Wow. So someone got swiped off the market early. Right, dude. I thought they probably would have been at least in high school, not college. All right. Yeah, time definitely flies when you don't want to.
It definitely flies. Yeah, it's amazing experiencing empty nesting because our family moved 2 years ago to the South from California. So that entire shift to a whole new culture was quite incredible. And then now living in a new house, and we didn't bring much with us. My mom rents our house in Sacramento. So we left all the furniture and all of the most belongings there. And so choosing new plates and choosing new lamps and all of those things, it's kind of like being a newlywed. It's quite exciting.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. So what got you to the tech industry?
What got me to the tech industry? I didn't know I was going into the tech industry. My network, somebody knew I was looking for a full-time job. I was working at Kmart, if they even still have Kmarts any longer. But I worked there, and a friend said that there was a job in a call center. But in that call center, it happened to be the call center, the employer of a very large IT company, Ross Pro's old company called Electronic Data Systems. Yeah, so I went from there to a phone company, and there to I consulted with Deloitte for a little while, and I went to a company called WebEx that was acquired by Cisco. I went to a cybersecurity company. I lost my job. I was out of work for a little while. Then I went to Zoom, and now I work for Hewlett Packard Enterprise. So I didn't choose tech. I think tech chose me, but every role has been through the lens of leadership and learning and development. So I'm a self-help junkie, but I think more so I have a passion for how we learn and the excitement of learning new things and excitement of teaching people new things.
Working for the big HP, that's right indeed. That's right. They can make some of the best printers ever. That's right indeed. That's right. Hey, just speaking from experience. Not trying to do the whole brownie point thing. I'm just speaking from freaking experience. Like, yep.
Yeah, that's okay.
Good old HP indeed. That's right. Indeed. So my goodness, a self-help junkie swag. And my goodness, so was that after the whole alcoholism, or was that something you picked up from your time in California?
The self-help junkie. I definitely have always imagined myself to be a motivational speaker someday. I really look up to Tony Robbins to really spend his whole life learning, teaching. And then, you know, as an entrepreneur doing that at massive scale. So I've always seen that as quite exciting. And then a lot of the training I've done is soft skills. So I think I did a lot more training. But as my disease progressed, once I got into recovery, I actually came across a book called Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. And I really loved that book. And it talked about people who wanted plastic surgery because of changing how they felt on the inside. They thought if they changed the outside, they could change the inside. And it had so many lessons on our self-image. a lot about prayer. So I was really delighted to see gospel quotes in his book. And also, it was my first introduction really to thinking about our subconscious and it being in charge of our goals and how we set goals. And then we can jam up the system when we try to control them. So that book led me on a path to find more books. And I keep pulling the thread. And then pulling the thread on those books has led me to quite a library. And then I like to synthesize what I learn, see how it works with my own personal story, and amplify that.
Yeah, me like indeed, me like indeed. And amplified so much, you basically got to the, let's say the end of the guinea pig trail, but you actually got to a nice sweet spot of the guinea pig trail when you read self-help books to where it's like, all right, I think I've done enough absorbing. Let me do a little releasing here. Go full sponge and squeeze out some knowledge. I finally got this magical book coming out, I guess. Shoot, 10 days from the time of this recording, I believe.
Yes, yes. In 10 days. I hadn't thought about that until you said it. So, yeah, it's an exciting, exciting time. The whole world will know the disaster that my life was like, but also the power of God to put all the things in my path that I needed to become willing to accept the gift of desperation and then be willing to face the unknown and go into recovery. So, and then what those steps look like. So yes, 10 days from now, it's so funny. I spent a lot of my life presenting myself in a certain way, terrified of what people would think of me, dressing how I thought I should dress, sensing in any kind of environment what would be good, what would be okay. So freeing. It is so freeing to be releasing something that is my true self. A lot of my flaws and also my true self in my belief in God and my true belief in the power of recovery. You know, as a, you've got to go all in. All in.
That's beautiful. Right. There ain't nothing to be ashamed about today. Vulnerability and authenticity is in high demand these days. Sometimes it seems too much of a high demand, so you're fitting right in.
I agree. I think a lot of people are living on a stage. I know I was really acting a lot, and then you know, who I wanted to be and who I wanted to become. I was, you know, holding myself back. And I wouldn't say that that was the cause of my alcoholism, but I think that medicating some of that turmoil, you know, that would definitely played a part.
Yeah, I'm talking about it. Damn. So what led you to get the confidence to finally join the Business of Immortality and publish your book?
Yes, well, I got into recovery and got a job and felt like myself, probably for the first time ever. I have always been a goal setter, always been an achiever, and I am very, I've always enjoyed making lists of goals, then prioritizing them, and then deciding what's doable and going for them. So I had a list of goals to achieve before I turned 50, and that was on the list. So I had actually taken this class called The Clarity Catalyst, this 8-week mindfulness journey. And part of that program, you know, is getting clear on your goals. So I knew writing a book is had been on my list for a long time. I had no idea what I was going to write about. But whenever I would pray about what to write about, the answer was like, from God, duh, write about me. So that came more clear the more I discerned what to write about. But in this class, there's a creative project. And so I had, you know, discerned through this 8-week journey that writing the book was going to be one thing I was going to work on, but I actually wrote a chapter of the book called The Day I Almost Got Caught. And then for my creative project, I read that chapter out loud. So the reception was very kind and supportive, and it was a welcomed vulnerability and authenticity, as you mentioned. So that was powerful. But one person in my cohort, she was going to do something very similar about her alcoholism. And she said she chickened out at the end and did like a vision board through some colors and, you know, construction paper on there. So she called me afterwards to tell me her story and to tell me how inspiring that was, that I had shared that. And that gave me also confidence that my story is going to help somebody like me who didn't know anyone, who needed a path, who didn't know where to start, who couldn't, back to psychocybernetics, who couldn't imagine themselves, didn't see their image as somebody living a different life than the torture that they were in. So gave me a lot of confidence to do that. And then I hired a coach to keep me accountable to my milestone. So, you know, that was the mechanics of getting it done, was finding some support in getting it done in the timeline I'd set out. So I had the dream, but some of these other things in my path were really the catalyst to get the time set aside to get the pages written and 10 days away.
Yeah, I mean, like, continuous writing. That's a beautiful thing about sharing a story like that, and the struggles, especially after you conquer them and you feel like, you know what, this is good. I feel like I'm in a better place now with this. Like, all right, cool. Now I'm going to share one. Hopefully, classmate, probably will share her story down the road more in the public realm if she so chooses. That's right, indeed. And that's if it's her path too, because sometimes it's like, maybe not, doesn't have to be a book or a big old stage, maybe sometimes in other ways too.
Yes. There are a lot of venues, I think, that are open to articles, to blogs, to chapters in a book, you know, of course, many, many ways to speak about it. I think when it's bottled up, like journaling, I'm a very big fan of journaling and writing things down, putting pen to paper. So it was very healing to get things out. And I discovered things that came out of me that I didn't realize, you know, the words were coming out, the story was coming out. And I was like, oh man, that's why that memory hurt so bad then. And that's to make connections from childhood to how that was impacting things later on. It was exciting, but I'm really grateful. There are so many ways for us to express ourselves. I mean, there are innumerable ways for us to express ourselves to other people socially, to do things anonymously, to do things privately in our own home. But I think it is important. We are all creative, and to find a way to express our creativity.
That's right. More ways than one. Dave, yeah. Got an old bottle of vodka every day ain't fun.
I can tell you it's not.
It's like, sure, you got secret abs of steel in there somewhere. You gotta handle all of that, Dave. So my goodness, you actually do some speaking too. So my goodness, so what helped you to also get the confidence to tell your story, or was that also part of the whole coaching thing that helped you to get to that part?
Yes. So speaking, I have been a trainer in my profession in those 30 years many times, and my career went like, I'm an instructor, then I get promoted to lead a team of instructors, then I move somewhere else as an instructor, then I get promoted to lead a team of instructors. So actually, at one point in my life, I was moving into upper management, and I thought, I'm probably not going to be an instructor again, and I love to teach. So I became a Zumba instructor. So I was a fitness instructor. I thought, I'll still be in front of the class. This time I'll have the microphone, but I got to see the difference between the classroom with bodies and the classroom with every, you know, the butts in seats. So I really love to teach. And, you know, in my job, I'm putting a lot of learning strategy together at a global scale. In expressing myself, I like to put workshops together. I, you know, because we have this freedom of Zoom and LinkedIn, I can put an event on, I can put it on Facebook, I can invite people to come listen to me talk, I can put it on YouTube. So I've been doing that for some time on topics that I think are important, all self-development, overcoming overwhelm, overcoming procrastination, how to forgive. I did a little talk today on habit change and becoming the best version of yourself. So usually what I'm learning and finding really impactful in my life, I turn around and try to share that. So speaking is, you know, and to become known as a speaker, I just put on my LinkedIn, speaker one day. I thought, I'm not going to wait for someone to ask me if I'm a speaker. I'm just going to tell people I'm a speaker. And so I had business cards made in my profile. So I would say to everyone listening, if you want to be something, yeah, become it. You know, label yourself that. Put it on your business card, put it on social media, and no one's going to say, what are your qualifications for a speaker, for a coach, for, you know, many things that we would like. You write, now you're a writer. So I would encourage everyone who's listening to do that. But that's what I did. And then in my community, we just moved to this very small town. I wanted to get to know a few women. So I joined this beautiful group called Women in Unity. And I said I was a speaker. That's how I introduced myself. I'm a speaker and I'm a coach, because they probably don't really care about technology at all. So I said what I did. And then they said, we're having our annual gala. Would you be our speaker? So there you have it. Yes, I'm a speaker and I speak. So that is how that comes about. So I'm a writer, now found a publisher. Now I'm a published author. Well, I will be very soon. And I this process of back to Maxwell Maltz. What do we envision? Who do we want to be? What do we want to be? What's God calling us to be? What desires are in our hearts? Actually, I would love to read this little piece of paper I have at my desk, which goes along these lines. Let them see my heart. Let them see what I want to do in and through them. I want them to know that those dreams I put in them were for a purpose. It was not placed there by mistake. It was not an error, but divinely orchestrated. So I feel when we are in touch with our desires and we spend time reflecting on our dreams and we daydream about what we'd like to be doing, we start to make it so. Ask God to bless us and share with us any signs if we're on the right path. And one day at a time, every day is a new day on the path we go.
Path we go into will start talking back to me. That's right, and we make it so. That's right, indeed. Make it so, number Jenny, instead of number one. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. I knew it was more behind the soothing voice. You got all that training experience behind you. It's all under your belt. That's right, indeed. She's got all that season.
Yes, and I've often thought, how in the world will I put all the business experience I have? I have an executive MBA. I've been in business. I have my own business. And how does that match up with faith? So in my journey to, I don't know how many life purpose books I must have, but they all wind up saying about the same thing, but many of them. So, and I came to this point of looking for other people to tell me what my purpose should be, what the path I should be on. But man, I needed to go through that journey of discernment and discovery. And I learned a lot. And I thought, I don't need to worry about exactly how my business background and my tech background and my training background is going to fit with some of these other faith and recovery passions. Those things will unfold. I spent so much time, decades, fearing the unknown, planning and strategizing for feelings of safety and comfort. And then something changed in the plan. And I'd re-swizzle the plan so I'd feel comfortable. So going into the unknown, terrifying, really terrifying for me. And that's what took me, I think, so long to go into recovery. I didn't know anything about it. And I remember working with someone who told me that, I think it's a Joseph Campbell quote, "The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure that you seek." I'm like, that cave is the unknown. I want the blueprint. I would like the map. I want to know the temperature. I'd like to actually co-design it, so I'm fully in control of things. And it's just amazing when we can get the courage to enter into the unknown.
All right, good deal, indeed. But there ain't nothing wrong with that. Business and faith actually go together very well, to be honest. But it's actually hilarious how, heck, even John Maxwell himself, he was writing his leadership books and some of his faith books. A lot of his revenue and a lot of his book sales are coming from business folks and entrepreneurs. And now it's like, well, might as well leave this pulpit and pack books at a greater scale. It was like, hey, all that wonderful business experience. So tap a lot of that. So you're just getting started.
Yeah. So I recently in my background of my video here, there's a crucifix on the windowsill and it was on my desk. And I was talking to a friend and he said, do you know, Jenny, your background is lovely. You've got the trees of South Carolina. You've got a fireplace. You've got a nice picture. You've got candles. It all looks light. It's pretty. It's well lit. La, la, la. It's missing something of your faith. And since I put that there, my work conversations have been very interesting because getting one-on-one with people who are believers or who have a strong spirituality, whether that be Muslim, Buddhist, the universe, all different ideas of that which is greater. I call it something different, but that is very, very universal. That which is greater. It has invited the most interesting and wonderful conversations. And now I feel so much closer to colleagues that has broached the discussion of spirituality and powerlessness and who we're relying on and can I pray for you and how are things going? It has taken many relationships to the next level. So I am very glad of that suggestion. I think when I was in California, my sense was don't step on any toes. Be careful of what you say in every aspect of your life. And I'm finding at the ripe old age of 50, I actually care a lot less as well. So if someone's going to ask me to remove that, well, they'll have to ask. But yeah, the fruits of that. So I appreciate that encouragement to keep going with business and faith and their connection with one another.
Right. Hey, don't be weird about it. It's all right. It's good stuff. And like you mentioned, yeah, able to have different conversations. It's either one or two things. One of three things. Either there's a neutral folks that probably folks don't want to bring it up. There's the folks who are believers too, and you want to talk more and offer some wonderful prayers. And there's possibly a third one where it's like, oh my gosh, no, I have to escape this person. They have a cross. I have to go across the Zoom line to another Zoom room. No.
Please, Jenny, turn off your camera. I can't take it.
Oh, God, if it gets that, Lord.
Yes, that hasn't happened yet. Thank goodness.
Be like, oh, they must be demon possessed. They say that one. All right.
I'll pray for them.
If it gets that bad, it's like, man. It's okay. You'll be fine.
Yeah, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Well, that's an amazing thing about being in the South is I live two doors down from a church and I used to dream about, oh, what it'd be like to be able to live where I could walk to a church from my house. And now it's not just like within walking distance, like a mile, it's two doors down. But 5 doors down is another church and 10 doors down is a different one. So yes, this is, there are many, many churches in the small town of 4,000 people. There must be 5 churches in a 1 mile radius. It's absolutely beautiful.
Hey, the South has got some big pants and they call it the Bible for the reason.
Yes. Yes. And people ask you, well, they know we're new here because here we are in this house that they knew what happened in the house before we moved into it. It was a dental office for many people in the community for a long time before we turned it back into a home. So the first thing is, you know, you're not from here. If you need anything, welcome. We're so happy to have you here. So the first thing is always a very warm welcome. And the second is, have you found a place to worship? And I think that's absolutely wonderful because that is not our experience in other places. So being asked and being able to say, yes, I have. Where do you worship? And start every conversation, you know, with faith. It's incredible.
So my goodness, so being raised in a church, then going through that rough period of alcoholism, and now that you're on the other side of it, I'm pretty sure there's probably been some good old detours along the way where it led to Legos and bear traps and being tripped by the enemy so that way you can walk barefoot on the Legos and hopefully dodged the bear trap. So when do you feel like your faith became genuine for you for real? We had to actually tap into it at its highest level.
Wow, that's a great question. Yes, I did have the foundation for sure. And I did not go to church in the depths of my addiction for a long time because I was out of character and not myself. And I thought, there's no way if I'm going to continue to be drinking and concealing from everyone how much that was. So there was a lot of concealing going on for years. If I'm going to intend to do this still, I don't belong walking in to church. So that what I would say is the number one trick that the enemy had convinced me of. But when my dad got sick with cancer, and when he got sick, he was sick for, once he was diagnosed, he passed away about 7 years later. And the two aunts I told you about that are nuns, they came to visit him, and they always come in groups. So these sisters, they come in groups. And when I was young, they had this girls camp, and this girls camp in a Big Bear Lake in California. And I was too young to go, but my sister and like a bunch of older cousin girls all got to go. And they came back from camp with all the things they made and singing all the songs. And I learned all the songs. And in my heart, I always wanted to go to girls camp. So when my dad got sick and the sisters started to visit him, I asked, because I had two little girls, I said, "Do you still do girls camp?" And they said, "We do." And I said, "Well, I want to go to girls camp." And so I went to girls camp with my daughters. I volunteered with other ladies, and they were all very faithful. And we had a nun, Sister Joan, who was assigned to us as volunteers in the kitchen. And we had prayer time every day. We had mass. We had devotions. We were reading. We had lots of activities in between the working. And so I was here with these wonderful ladies experiencing this fellowship with women, which I've never done before. I'd never done that before, done any kind of Bible study, anything along those lines. And there also was confession. And confession I had not gone to for a long time because I had not set foot in church for a long time. So there I was on this mountain amongst these pine trees with a very lovely priest. And I shared a few things that I was really angry about and struggling with and guilty about. And he asked me to work on my personal relationship with Jesus. And I was like, what does that mean? How do I even begin to do that? So that started me on searching and asking what that meant and praying about that. And then the more my dad was sick, the more the nuns came. I went to girls camp again. And then I went to that mountain with on a retreat with my mother. And then the last time I went there was the time I confessed that I was an alcoholic and I was hiding it from my family. And I got what they call a behind the woodshed kind of chat with that priest. And it was still 6 months later that I received the gift of desperation. But through this time, I'd been going to church, and I was going to church with my dad, and our family was starting to go to church together with him and really spending all this time that we could with him, knowing that he was not going to be around for a long time. So then I started to feel a lot of joy and peace at church where I had not felt before. So I would say it was beginning. It was building. And then once I got into recovery, I went all in a year-long outpatient program and got a sponsor, worked through a 12-step program, went through simultaneously a faith-based program called Catholic in Recovery. And it really, to answer your question, finally, I took the long way around. But it was working those steps. Those steps are steps of giving my will and my life over to the care of God, going through the process of looking at my part where I have not forgiven people or hold anger and resentments and resolving those, being humble and apologizing, and having a practice of daily meditation and prayer, step 11. And now it's an ongoing, beautiful, beautiful journey. So I wouldn't say I'd never read the Bible. I'm interested in it. There's a podcast called Bible in a Year. For 3 years, I've been working on it. I'm on episode 154, but I'm working through the catechism. I'm working through the Bible. I read the Bible. I listen to God. I journal. I meditate. I love being around people who pray or who who are of faith. And I love being around people who don't know the gifts that are there. So I hope that my book, for someone who's desperate, who doesn't know where to start, I talk about what the 12 steps are like and a little bit of that journey. So it demystifies a little bit of what the beautiful process is and offers some hope. But I feel like a child in my faith, like, and I think that I'm right where God wants me, eager to learn. I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of interest, a lot of excitement. I've just learned about healing prayer. I've been prayed over a couple times, and I thought that was quite significant and profound for me. So I've started to look and see are there programs or things where I can learn more what that's like, because I think it is getting closer to the Holy Spirit. Yes, this is my favorite topic in the whole world. I'm glad you asked. Really has become my favorite topic in the whole world.
It's always giving that extra shout out, folks. It's like, yeah, bro, I'm talking about things. Hey, nowadays, especially Christians get a bad rap these days. It's like, some of them may be a little shy, but it's like, hey, if you got a book, you're promoting your book, might as well promote your faith too. While you're at it, get a chance. There's a way, another form of badge. Good work.
Yes. Yes. And that's exciting. That is not something I would have called myself an evangelist or, but I think about that. I think about the speaking I've done and all of the training I've done on how to give presentations, how to effectively communicate, how to listen, how to cross-functionally collaborate. And I think that does not give me the excitement that talk that I gave for Women in Unity. I asked what they wanted me to speak on, and they said, this year is the year of making moves in 2024, and they wanted it to be about Acts. God is in me, in my being, moving in my being. I'm not going to get this right, exactly right. But I thought, okay, this is the first time I'm going to take scripture and then I'll be able to blend a talk about it. And I felt inside of me, I felt more alive than I have on any stage or any other time I presented. I felt more in flow and excited. So yes, I would like more of that. So thank you for this opportunity to actually share how exciting that is for me.
Pleasure indeed, my pleasure. And hey, so I'm talking about, it's not going to since you're going to be on more stages and not just virtual, but also in person too. You know, faith's a major thing, but is there any other question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the microphone on this podcast?
Oh, a question I wish folks would ask me more often. Yes. Thank you for asking and giving me a chance to think about this for a second. I wish folks would ask me if they should start meditating. And the answer that I have is yes. And then I would love to offer a suggestion for anyone listening who is like, I don't know how, I haven't done it right, I am afraid, I don't know where to start. And I'll give two hot tips. One hot tip is our thoughts are involuntary, like a heartbeat. So while you're meditating and you have thoughts, that's totally normal. And the second is there's no wrong way to meditate. So if you can set your timer for 1 minute and breathe in and out gently and peacefully for 1 minute, you have meditated. And please start there, because that will get you in touch with the divine who is waiting to meet you 1 minute at a time, 1 day at a time. So that is what I wish people would ask me. Thank you.
Our pleasure indeed. That's right. Serve that right, folks. That's right indeed. When you have a bunch of thoughts and the monkey mind is going crazy and it's clapping the cymbals like those wonderful little toys you would see, especially in those cartoons. It's okay. The thoughts just keep coming. It's okay. Eventually, you might get to the point where you do enough meditating where it becomes a muscle. It's like, oh, that's a thought. All right, whatever. And then out of nowhere, it just becomes all quiet. And it's like, hey, it's like all I can think about is just one random drop of water in a random lake somewhere. It's like, it's a maze. I don't even have to put on an orange robe and shave my head bald. It's freaking great. Like, there's no wrong way to do this. This is great.
Yes, you don't have to follow in a Jay Shetty's origin story. It is an amazing story, but we can fast forward to the meditation.
That's right, indeed. Jenny's still got a beautiful head of hair for a reason, y'all. That means there's no wrong way to do it.
Appreciate that. I appreciate that.
So since you're Philip podcast host, always have an obligatory question form. So what would you consider your top three lessons learned from starting, growing, and running your magical show?
Oh, yes. Starting my show. Well, back to what I was saying earlier about if you're a speaker, go speak. If you want to write, call yourself a writer. If you want to do a podcast, start a podcast. So I started by opening up Zoom. I did a recording. I took the video and put it on LinkedIn. I took the audio and I put it on Spotify, and I created a little Canva cover. I gave it a title. Every day is a new day. That's my theme. So that's the title of my book. That's also the name of my podcast. And then I thought, okay, now I'm a podcaster. I'm on Spotify. So I think those would be the tips. Start. See yourself that way. And the third one, go back to the first step and start. Stop thinking about it. Yes. I've yet to have a guest on my podcast. So far it's been the What Jenny's Thinking About show. This has been a really, really great experience, Dom. I appreciate you having me on here so that I can experience this magic. It really is quite wonderful.
That's right, indeed. Besides, not all podcasts have to have guests on them. Besides, it can be even more rewarding as a solo show. It's like, all right, cool. Let's get in these reps and sets, get this content out there. And then when folks ask me to deliver, it's like, all right, cool. A part of my brain remembers this piece of content. Let's share it here.
Well, I appreciate what you do because you are bringing visibility and amplifying the I've listened to several of your podcasts, many people who are very accomplished writers, for myself being new. So, you are a servant leader, obviously, and, amplifying what others are doing in their life to amplify. It's just quite, quite beautiful. Yes. So I will set my intention to have a guest and see how it feels. And it may or may not be for me.
Just take your time. See. What God tells you, or should I say, hear what God tells you. You can probably see it too, shoot. I don't know. We got all five senses for a reason. Yeah, sometimes the mouth works before the head, and sometimes the head just works and the mouth don't work. But anyway, it's two more questions. I'll let you make a run for it. So your fabulous book, the first of many to come, Every Day is a New Day, A Story of Faith. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Ooh. If that book were a food, it would be my favorite food, which is nachos, because the cover's bright yellow, like nacho cheese, but also it is an interactive book. So it is something where you'll journal, you'll meditate and reflect. There's a lot of engagement, just like nachos. You don't just eat them in one bite. You really have to search and engage and find the right perfect layer for the chip. So nachos. That's an interesting question. I love that. And it's dinner time, so I think now I know what I'm having for dinner.
There we go. We've now reached the side effect of guesting on the podcast. Hunger. At least one of the side effects. I almost thought you were going to say molasses cookies.
Wait, what made you say that, or what caused you to say molasses cookies?
Because like, aren't those your favorite too, or at least your favorite types of cookies?
They are. Huh. You have done your homework. I thought this is quite amazing. We're channeling one another right now. Yes. I do love molasses cookies, and not like the small ginger snap, the ones that are like the size of the palm of your hand. Yes. Yes. A meal.
That's right. That's right. That's your average bear. I do some homework before I invite people to be on the show.
Oh, I'm like blushing and delighted.
Yeah, exactly. I want to learn some of it. Don't want to go completely cold. That's right, D. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year with all of your knowledge and experience, what advice would you give to yourself?
I'm going to take a moment here. If I was 25 and I know everything, I would give myself the advice, you know you have a problem. Get into recovery now. Don't waste the decades. And I would stop making lists of all the things I want to do, and I would start doing them.
Folks need to keep up with you and all that you do, as well as cop some copies of your magical book. So for folks need to do just that, what's the best way for folks to do so?
The best way to do that would be to go to jennyteeters.com. So on jennyteeters.com, you'll find links to pre-order my book, or if you're listening to this in a few weeks, to order the book. You'll also find links to my Instagram, YouTube channel, Spotify podcast. So jennyteeters.com, and you'll be able to launch all the other things from there.
Read that right. Folks, keep up with Jenny Teeters, y'all. That's right. Keep over there. Put a link to all of her wonderful goods in the show notes. That way you can keep up with all the stuff that she's doing. Indeed. And will this book eventually be in audio form too?
Yes, it will be in audio form. I did work into my contract that I would retain the rights to the audiobook. And I would like to record it myself. And I got a hot tip right before this this podcast started on where to start, which is Fiverr. So I've never done this before, so all I need to do is start. But yes, that is my intention, that there'll be an audiobook. And the book is not long, so I don't think the audiobook will be that long either. But my soothing, hopeful voice will, if you need a meditation, just play the audio.
Well, amen to that. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. So be on the lookout for that, folks, in the future. You get to have Jenny on the go in more ways than one. She'll be reading her own book, indeed. So name of the game, Jenny. Lots of honey lemon cough drops. Stay energized. Get a good night's rest, indeed. And be sure to just reread sentences if you flub over them. Just reread them. And don't get mad at yourself if you feel like you don't know the English language.
Yeah, I'm just afraid I'll get choked up or have a moment like, did I really write this for the world to hear? Plenty of those moments.
Yeah.
Thank you for the encouragement.
My pleasure, indeed. Yeah, I've done a few audiobooks myself, and it's not as easy as one might think. It's like, oh, this will be fun. Oh, no, it's not. It's like, dang gummit, I thought I knew English. I can't say this one simple word. It's wrong.
Also, it's not as easy as, you know, I'm going to block out 2 hours on the calendar and knock it out this weekend. It sounds like it's a process.
You'll be fine. The good fine, the capital F type of fine where everything's really good. Not the trap fine that you may ask your partner about. I just had to make that distinction for the folks who have PTSD when you hear that word.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We don't want the dog in a burning house. So I want the real one. The good one.
Yes, exactly. Great clarification.
Well, before we open another wonderful door and a whole bunch of rabbit holes show up, any parting word before we close up shop?
Well, Dom, the only thing I want to close with is thank you so much for inviting me to be a guest. It really has been a pleasure. And thank you for being of service and all the things that you do. And to everyone listening, every day's a new day. So whatever today looked like for you, tomorrow you'll wake up and you'll breathe. Maybe set a minute timer to do a minute of meditation. Maybe not. But just I'm very grateful to be here, and God bless.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being fabulous.